Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. First confession of my centurion. He acknowledges his unworthiness. He confesses his weaknesses. He makes a profound act of faith. He expects everything, not from himself, not from the gestures of Christ, but only from a single word coming from the mouth of our Lord. And in the blink of an eye, his servant is cured, miraculously healed. Same for the poor leper, profound act of faith in the healing power of Christ. And a simple touch from Jesus is enough to cure the man and to give him back the integrity of his body. The analogy with sin is clear. It is not the first time that a physical disease refers to the disease of the soul. This has always been the common explanation of the church fathers, as you know. One of them commanded, among others who were not able to ascend into the mount, was the leper, as being the burden of sin. For the sin of our souls is a leprosy. And the Lord came down from the height of heaven, asking the mountain that he might purge the leprosies of our sin. And so the leper, as already prepared, meets him as he came down. So two analogies here, one regarding, of course, the sacrament of penance, and the second regarding the sacraments of Holy Communion. The cure, to cure the soul from the sin, from its sins, as we know, an attitude of contrition is always necessary. One could not make a good confession if contrition was not part of it. One would not even do a valid confession without at least an imperfect contrition. In the life of the body, the man sometimes fall ill, very ill, and unless he takes the proper medicine, he soon will die. Even so in the spiritual life, the man is sick on account of sin. For that very reason, he needs medicine, so that he may be restored to health. And this grace is bestowed in the sacrament of penance. It is always beneficial to remind ourselves of the necessity and distinction regarding contrition itself. Contrition, in general, is considered to be a certain sorrow, a hatred for sins committed, together with the determination not to sin again. And three acts are necessary for contrition: sorrow, detestation, and resolution. But we can also make another distinction. As we know, contrition is either perfect or imperfect. Perfect if sorrow is elicited from the very motive of the love of God. Or, as we said, attrition, also known as imperfect contrition, if sorrow arises not from the motive of charity itself, but from other supernatural motive, such as, for instance, fear of eternal or temporal punishment due to sin. You see the distinction: one, perfect contrition, by love for God, for his motive, or imperfect contrition, fear of his punishment. However, imperfect contrition or attrition is enough for the validity, as we know, of the sacrament of penance. Confession of the centurion, which finds its echo in the form of confession we also met just before receiving communion, for instance, at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Remember, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter into my room. Say but the word, and my soul shall be healed. But Christ instituted also the sacrament of confession, and it is therefore necessary to receive the absolution from the priest if any grave sin has been committed, but not confessed yet. Receiving the Holy Eucharist is sacred thing. And here, of course, the most sacred thing man could ever receive, that is, the body of the Lord himself. Go to your confessor, says St. Francis de Sales. Open your heart to him. Display to him all the recesses of your soul. Take the advice that he will give you, but he has more humility than simplicity. For God, who is an infinite love for obedience, frequently renders pitiful the counsel we take from others, but especially from those who are the guides of our souls. I know, of course, that I am here preaching to the choir, and I guess everyone here already has a good, regular spiritual life with regular confession. However, this might also be an open door to neglected confessions, unprepared confessions, examination of conscience made out of routine. And here's what St. John Marie Vianney tells us. We come to confession quite preoccupied with the shame that we shall feel. We accuse ourselves with hot hair. It is said that many confess, and few are converted. I believe it so, my children, because few confess with tears and repentance. See the misfortune is that people do not reflect. If one said to those who work on Sundays, to a young person who had been dancing for 2 or 3 hours, he says, to a man coming out of an elf house drunk, what have you been doing? You have been crucifying our Lord. They would be quite astonished, because they do not think of it. My children, he continues, if we thought of it, we should be seized with our horror. It would be impossible for us to do evil. For what has the good God done to us that we should grieve him thus and put him to death again? Him who has redeemed us from hell. It would be well for all sinners, when they are going to their guilty pleasures, could, like St. Peter, meet the Lord on their way, who would say to them, I am going to that place where you are going yourself to be there crucified again. Perhaps that's my explaining them reflect. So again, let us examine our conscience today. Let us take advantage of today's holy writings to meditate upon the beautiful sacrament of the mercy of God made men, and to see what is the attitude we have in receiving this sacrament. Let us beg for the grace of true contrition every time we go to confession, the grace of a deep sorrow and a strong purpose not to sin again. Let us have the force to our beloved mother to understand and appreciate always better this sacrament of the justice and mercy of God. Mother of mercy, Mother of justice, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.